the Lendon on the penultimate day before Christmas. How about that? I don't think anybody else is saying it that way, but that's what it is, 2 days before Christmas. I'm delighted to celebrate it with Ellen Brown back on the program. And, for those still buying Christmas gifts, let me suggest a superb one. Go out and buy Ellen's book, Web of Debt. It is an absolutely sensational must-read. We've talked about it lots of times on this program, and we'll talk about some of what's in the book on the articles that Ellen sent me, including one not yet published. We'll get into them all, but Web of Debt, it is just an absolutely brilliant analysis of the private banking cartel, Federal Reserve, how it usurped money creation power, and how we can take it back. And I got to get this in since I discovered it not too many programs ago, a couple of programs ago. The Daily Bell, Ellen, who that compendium of free market whatever, recently awarded Ellen a title of her own, saying there are, in their opinion, in modern economic thought, now Keynesians, Austrians, and Brownians, and I do love that, Ellen. Welcome to the program again. It's terrific having you on.
Oh, thanks, Stephen. It's always great to talk to you.
Oh, it's terrific. Oh, your articles. The ones I love most are the newest ones you send me, including you've got one on health care. Maybe we can start off on that. You've got another one on the IMF, World Bank, EU blackmail against tiny countries, Iceland and Latvia. But, you know, they do it to them all that they can get in their clutches. That's big because it affects so many others, and it's major stuff. We've talked about it on this program before with Michael Hudson. I think maybe with you a little bit as well, Ellen, but it's certainly been a topic on the program before. And your new one on healthcare in Canada, oh, you told me stuff I didn't know. That you're still working on that one, but we can get into it all. So let's start off in healthcare. Let me read a quote that you had in your article, which is, oh, it's absolutely sensational, especially with this monstrosity that's about to be passed by the Senate tomorrow. They call it healthcare. It's got nothing to do with healthcare. It's all about stealing our money and giving it to the insurance giants, to the drug cartel. That's the way the system works. But you have this quote by Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence in the U.S. for foreign listeners over two centuries ago. And here it is, quote, "Unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an underground dictatorship. The Constitution of this Republic should make special privilege for medical freedom as well as religious freedom." That is a sensational quote. And Rush was a very prescient guy because we've been in the clutches of a medical dictatorship for a long time. And if the House and Senate get together, Ellen, and I'm sure they will, it's going to get a lot worse than it is now. I'll let you kick off talking about that.
Well, and it's not even a medical dictatorship so much as fire sector, effects sector. It's fire, insurance, real estate. So it's really just another boondoggle for the financial sector, which is being bailed out yet again. There are 30 million people out there who don't have insurance, and this will now force those people to get insurance. I mean, their argument is that we're going to help them get insurance by supplementing the purchase, but at least half those people don't have insurance because they don't want insurance, and I'm one of those people.
I got to hold you till we come back. I have a comment to make on that.
Are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Ellen, I think to call what I am almost certain the final House Senate resolution bill will be, to call it a monstrosity, I think, is being kind. I mean, this thing will come out as grand theft, and you talk about the fire sector, the eye of the fire sector, celebrating Christmas and New Year's early, because they may not be getting everything they want, but they're sure getting damn near all of it, and my understanding is that the little bits here and there that they don't have, they are already working behind the scenes to get some final changes, and whatever the final product is, they'll get as close to 100% of what they want, which is basically a license from the people supposedly representing us to stick their grubby hands in our pockets and steal our money, and make people pay a penalty if they can't afford to buy their insurance, make people with conditions like diabetes and heart disease, cancer, whatever, things that used to exclude people on these health issues, these so-called pre-existing conditions, they're swept away now. But insurance companies are licensed to charge whatever they want to anybody. So sure, they'll cover you with heart disease and cancer or whatever, but they'll charge you 3 or 4 times as much, meaning you can't afford it, so you get no insurance, on and on and on. Oh, in one breath, Ellen, I'll let you pick up the beat.
Yes, well, somebody has to pay for all those conditions, so you can assume that everybody's rates will go up. I saw in there that they're not allowed to actually... They can't raise your rates because you have a serious condition. But they're going to cover all that, so that means all of our rates are going to go up. And the rates are already really high, and that's the reason many people don't have health insurance in the first place. I called that article Let Them Eat Cake after the famous line of Marie Antoinette, where here's what the senators are saying is, what shall we do about the 30 million people who don't have health insurance? Why, that's simple. Make them buy it. What if they don't have the money? Well, charge those people who do have the money. It's just they're going for the money, and they're not going for what we were promised, which is cheaper, more effective, more intelligent health care. And the reason is they've cut out the public option. We have to have a public option. It is not fair to impose on people who don't have health insurance or who can barely afford it as it is, even higher rates to pay for a system that is actually, in my opinion, the whole system is making us sicker. I cited a study by, it was reported by Gary Null. It wasn't actually his study, but it was a review of many, many studies, and it showed that close to a million. Sorry, I need to get the numbers. Anyway, that modern medicine is actually the number one killer. It actually kills more people than cancer or heart disease. I'm just looking for the figures. I think it was 783,000 in 1 year.
Oh, it's true, Ellen. I mean, this is shocking. I saw that in your article. I forget the percentage and number as well, but it's shocking that modern medicine is a killer because it excludes our insurance excludes our right to have alternative treatments that, in many cases, are vastly superior to the terrible ones that are covered. So why not is the question. What everybody should ask: Why doesn't our insurance? Why doesn't our coverage for so-called health care give us the right to choose among the most effective ways to be helped, to be cured of the problems that we have? That's a big question that's gone unasked and undiscussed in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. And it's just assumed. For instance, I saw that they don't do double-blind vaccine studies because it's assumed, it's called immoral to have a group that doesn't get the vaccine. Are you kidding me? I'd want to be in the group that doesn't get the vaccine. Those vaccines are bad for you, but it's just been, the science has basically been politicized. The science is not real anymore. You can't trust these studies at all. I wrote about health in the 90s, and I mentioned to this dentist that I collaborated with that we really needed to redo those books because they were a bit old. And he said, no, he said the old studies were the only ones you could trust. He said the studies in the last 10 years have been so skewed, they're purchased by the drug companies, basically. They're funded by the drug companies, and so they don't report the studies that are bad for their drugs. And the way they do report them, it's very misleading. I mean, you have to look at those studies so closely to see what they're really saying. In cancer, for instance, it's considered immoral to have a group that doesn't get any treatment. So they're always comparing drug X with drug Y. So they show that drug Y is like 1%, makes you live 1% longer than drug X did. Well, they're both highly toxic, and they're both not good for you. I mean, there are old studies showing that did have a control group where they got no treatment, and the control group did better. I've cited that in my old books on this.
You wrote a book on this, Ellen, and I guess a while back. But I'm sure, and I haven't read it. I apologize. I've got to get that book.
Sorry.
But I'm sure you included in it that there are treatments that are very, is the word, efficacious. I mean, they work. They work, and they work better than these toxic drugs that all have terrible side effects. And if you stay on these drugs long enough, I don't know if they'll do anything to help you with the problems you have, but whatever they may do for you, it's what they do to you that you need to worry about.
Right. I think that our whole medical system has taken the wrong approach. It's very like a war. They've declared war on the body. They're trying to kill the disease, but in the process, they're killing the patient. So they use toxic drugs, surgeries. Surgery is probably better than drugs in some cases, like in cancer. The cancer doctor I worked with, that's what he said, that if you had to do something, surgery wasn't so bad just to get that lesion out of there. But it's the drugs that are highly toxic. So real cure comes from getting toxins out of the body, not putting more toxins in. So on that theory, all of modern medicine is pretty much wrong. Some drugs, of course, you have to have. If you're in a car accident and you're in terrible pain, of course, you're going to take these narcotic drugs. But the drugs aren't good for you. They're actually bad for you. They may short-term get you over something, you know, over a hump. For instance, anti-inflammatories might get you through the night, but they're bad for you. They're bad for your liver and your kidneys, and they accumulate in the body. So real cure comes from, well, the best way to get those things out is sweating, which, of course, no insurance policy is going to cover any sweat therapy, but everything costs money. And people who are on the borderline, who can just barely afford things, if they have to pay hundreds of dollars a month for insurance, they're not going to buy organic food, and they're not going to buy vitamins, and all those things that we know are actually good for you, that are actually going to keep you out of the hospital instead of paying for the hospital after you get in there.
Oh, absolutely, Ellen. And another thing that the so-called healthcare industry doesn't—it's really the sickness industry, not the healthcare industry. But another thing it doesn't stress is prevention. If we do the right things preventively, we can avoid a lot of these health problems. And the ones we get may be milder; they may be shorter lived. But that's very bad for the industry because they thrive on illness, not health. In the industry, I quoted a doctor in an article months back, Dr. Robert Mendelson, no longer with us, a severe critic of the industry, and he called modern medicine not science or medicine so much as a religion. He referred to it as a religion that these people in medical school, doctors and budding doctors or doctors to be in medical school, are indoctrinated with the religion. And a lot of it is just plain bad practices to cure people, to help people preventively, and to help them with their medical problems. Were the things that you've written about, that Gary Null has written about and talks about, Gary Null has written about and talked about, this stuff actually works. It does good. It doesn't do harm. It's cheaper. But it's not good for the drug companies. Now, maybe the insurance companies can get away with a lot of illness because the more illness, the higher their premiums can be.
Mm-hmm. I knew a chiropractor who knew someone else who had a remedy for, but he had this brilliant remedy, cheap, effective, and he went to a drug company and he presented it to him, and the drug man said, well, that's interesting, but we won't develop it. And he said, why not? It's a great remedy. And he said, well, we can't make any money off of that. I mean, they're in the business to make money, and so their best products are the ones that you have to stay on for life. In other words, they don't work, and they don't get you better. Like those cholesterol lowering drugs, which are really toxic, and people should be warned about those. But so this is what I fear, is that when we're all in the system, that then they're going to say, well, it's your duty to the rest so that we keep healthcare costs down, that everybody has to go in routinely and get checkups. And if your numbers are outside what they consider safe parameters, then they're going to put you on drugs. It's your duty to take these drugs to keep your cholesterol down or something.
And it's a duty to take those drugs, Ellen, to keep the drug companies profitable. They don't do a damn thing for your health. The way to keep your cholesterol down is eat right.
Right,
eat
and
right.
Exercise, yeah.
I have extremely low cholesterol because I've eaten right for decades. I don't need those damn drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy about those people.
I have extremely low blood pressure, although I drink like six.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
My children were very disrespectful. They were defiant. The results from the total transformation were almost immediate. The children stop arguing.
Is your child disrespectful and defiant with you about everything? Are they arguing with you constantly and having problems in school? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the total transformation.
They have become very task-oriented at school. They complete their assignments in a timely manner without being asked. I firmly believe it is 100% the total transformation. It truly changed our lives.
Backtalk, lying, even problems with ADD and defiant teens. I'll help you transform the worst behavior problems and get peace and sanity in your home. Guaranteed. Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less and my weekly newsletter free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
On with Ellen Brown. Let's go up north to the border and talk about Canada and the program. They have universal coverage, but it used to be a lot better in the past than it is now. A quick aside before you do, I'm not certain you know this. This just happened in the last day or two or three. A major bank in Venezuela was nationalized. It was in big trouble. Instead of bailing it out, I put that all in capital letters. Instead of bailing it out, it was nationalized. There were three smaller ones that were also nationalized, two or three, and I believe they were all combined into one publicly run bank. It now controls 25% of Venezuela's banking sector, publicly run. That's a good start, Ellen, and I hope Chavez goes all the way and comes up with a publicly run central bank. But let's go up north and talk about Canada, the program it once had, and what it has now.
Canada in the 30s formed a central bank, the Bank of Canada, which is publicly owned. They own their own bank. Of course, other countries do that too. The Bank of England is publicly owned in theory, but they don't operate it like a publicly owned bank. But for 30 years, the Bank of Canada actually funded the government. So the government would borrow from their own bank interest-free, and the loans would be rolled over the same way our federal debt is rolled over from year to year. We never, ever pay off the federal debt. It just keeps growing. But like England and other places, we borrow for the federal debt from private lenders. Now, all money is created by banks. Banks create the money they lend on their books. So whether it's a publicly owned bank or a privately owned bank, it's still going to be inflationary if you're borrowing from a bank. And for those 30 years that Canada did this, where they issued their own money, basically. They borrowed from their own central bank that issued the money and funded many, many projects. They did infrastructure. They funded their participation in World War II, which was an important contribution to the war. They made a lot of the products for the war. And then after the war, they used that same mechanism to fund things for national development, including their National Health Service. And so it was all funded by money created on the books, and it worked really well. It was low cost. They covered everybody. It's free health care for everybody. I mean, now you hear complaints that there are long waiting lines, particularly for elective surgeries, but that's because they are now heavily in debt. In the 60s, late 60s or early 70s, I guess, they went off that system and they started borrowing from the private international lenders. It's not exactly clear who made that decision or how that happened, but there were meetings, you know, with the Bank for International Settlements, and there was all this stuff going on with the international lenders, and they were leaned on to not borrow from their own bank. But what happened was there was this period of stagflation where there was price inflation without an increase in productivity. So this was considered to be the fault of the government creating money, and so the government was instructed not to do that anymore, and they were supposed to turn to private banks instead. But, of course, we had the same stagflation in the United States, and we were not borrowing from our own central bank interest-free like in Canada, so that can't have been the explanation. In fact, what happened was in 1971, Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. Of course, we were in trouble because of the Vietnam War, and so we had inflation. And people quit trusting the dollar around the world, so everybody was cashing in their dollars for gold, and we were going through our gold very fast, so Nixon closed the gold window. All the currencies then floated against each other, so you had all this havoc in the currency markets. And then in 1974, Henry Kissinger supposedly made this secret deal with OPEC where they would sell their oil only in dollars and would put the money in U.S. banks, Wall Street banks.
I think it was an ultimatum, Ellen.
Yeah, it sounded like
he gave them a choice. They can either do it. We'll bomb them.
yeah, it was definitely extortion. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So then, and he said, supposedly, nobody knows exactly what he said, but to the effect that we are going to quadruple the price of oil, which they then did. So we are going to make you very rich by quadrupling the price of oil, and that happened. So all these countries around the world that had a certain amount of dollar reserves, but they certainly didn't have enough for a quadrupling of the price of oil, they had to borrow the dollars. So where are they going to borrow them? From the Wall Street banks where they had been deposited by the OPEC nations. So that put everyone into debt to the U.S., but of course that's another issue. But anyway, so Canada, like everybody else, had to pay these inflated prices. That made the prices go up. Plus, there were very strong unions at that time, so they didn't back off on their union demands just because business had fallen off or whatever. So there were all these. It was actually a cost push inflation, but it was blamed on the government for printing money, and so the government quit borrowing from its own central bank and started borrowing from the international bankers, putting them into debt like all the rest of the countries, and so that's why they're now struggling with their health system like everyone else. But for a period of several decades, their health system worked brilliantly well on government-issued money.
And it could again if they went back to a publicly run bank.
Right.
Another break, Ellen, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Gall. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs, where you can trade your Jacksons for top quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. On with Ellen Brown, talking about how to do it right and how to do it wrong. We're focusing on health care, but we'll get on to other things as well. Ellen, you started off with a great quote. It's amazing. A wonderful guest that I've had on this program, not for a good many months, a Canadian writer named Linda McQuaig. I contacted her recently to come back. She's working on a new book and said when it's done she will. So we'll talk about it. I don't have the title, so not sure exactly what her focus is. But she's written about half a dozen books or more on how Canada, through the years, has transformed its once socially progressive economy into a model looking increasingly more like what goes on down here. So they went from the likes of a man like Mackenzie King, who nationalized the Bank of Canada in 1938, you explained, to ones not as good as he was. I don't know much about what all he did, but went from him to a man like Lester Pearson in the 1960s, I believe. He won a Nobel Peace Prize, I think, even though he didn't deserve it. Pierre Trudeau to the likes of Brian Mulroney in the 1980s, who was Canada's equivalent of Ronald Reagan. Enough said about him, and it's been straight downhill ever since, including both the liberal and more conservative parties. I like our Democrats and Republicans. Not a dime's worth of difference between them. So Chrétien, a liberal, Paul Martin, I think another liberal. Today we've got Stephen Harper. My God. I mean, in the pocket of all the corporate interests, Brian Mulroney updated to the current times, and McQuaid wrote a book about him called Holding the Bully's Coat. The Bully meeting America. Speaking of Brian Mulroney, Holding the Bully's Coat. I reviewed it, Ellen. Oh, that was over a year ago. And she writes in a way that you really know what's going on, and she's extremely easy to read. And she has these great titles like Holding the Bully's Coat.
It's so descriptive.
I can't wait to get her back as soon as she finishes her book. But again, it's been a downhill path. So that Canada, with their wonderful programs like universal health coverage, they've still got it, but it keeps getting worse and worse. Even though their program today is weakened, diluted as it is from what it used to be, they cover everything from first dollar. But I'll let you continue on Canada.
Yes, I was interviewed by somebody in Canada who said, why is everybody talking down the Canadian health system? He said, we love it. And he had traveled to Hawaii and had to have some sort of emergency surgery, and it was very expensive. He was shocked at what he had to pay for this surgery. So comparatively, their system is definitely better than ours.
Well, nobody pays anything in Canada. They get complete coverage. Of course, they pay it in a progressive tax system. I don't know much about the Canadian tax system because I've never paid it. But, I mean, that's the way it should be. Those who earn the most should pay more than people who earn less. And people who earn below a certain amount shouldn't pay anything. I mean, they can barely get by on a very low income. But that's not the way our system works here.
No, and what they've done is it's a secret tax because they would never get away with raising taxes that much. So they're calling it health insurance, and they're making 30 million people who weren't buying health insurance before buy it. True, some of them will get supplements from the government, but where is that government money going to come from? It's got to come from the other taxpayers. So it's still a secret tax. I hang out with a lot of people who are your starving musician type people. Most of my friends don't have health insurance. And it's not, except for some of them, it's because they can't afford it. But nobody wants it. I mean, it's not even an issue. There's no reason to get health insurance when we all go to alternative people. I would not go to... Well, I actually have enough money I could self-insure. When I canceled my insurance in 2002, my rates had gone up to $400, and I thought that was very high, although now I guess it's sounding quite reasonable. I have a friend who's younger than I am, and her rates went up to $600 when she turned 55, just because she turned 55. That's for a single woman.
No, I'm on Medicare. I'm 75 years old. Between Medicare and my Blue Cross backup plan, because I have to have it for what Medicare doesn't cover, or let's say I want to have it, I pay over $400 a month. And
wow.
I'm supposed to be on free Medicare. That was the contract the government signed made with me in 1965, when they said, we will take a deduction out of every paycheck, and when you turn 65, we'll give you free health care.
Right.
Free my foot.
Right. Well, that's the thing, and that just the deductibles are going to be so high that poor people aren't going to be able to pay it. So they're not going to use this health insurance anyway. Well, I figured even at $400 a month, which is now is sounding real reasonable, I was paying $48,000 every decade. So I thought, well, I'll just self-insure. That's enough for one surgery. So if I have to have a surgery, I'll just pay it myself, and I'll take the risk, and in the meantime, I'm going to use that money for vitamins and things that'll actually keep me healthier.
Well, that is a very sensible thing that you did, Ellen, but yet the audacity of 60 Democrat senators, and make no mistake, the Republicans are just as bad. They're very happy to see the insurance companies get rich and the drug companies get rich, but they're being obstructionist, not so much about health care, as about politics, because the game is beat up on the other party. At least that's the Republicans' game. Democrats seem to do it less than Republicans. But it's beat up on the other party, so you can defeat enough of them at the next election, and there's always one every 2 years for the House. Senators have to stand for office every 6 years, but representatives in the House, 435 of them, have to go before the voters every 2 years, the president every 4 years. So that's the dirty game that they're playing. And they string it out for all that it's worth. And that, but they sold out to the corporate predators so that they can steal our money and deliver as little as possible in return for it.
Mm-hmm. It's just like the bailout of a year ago of the Wall Street banks. It all had to be done in a rush. It was such a great emergency, and then we got something that we're stuck with, and we don't know how to get out of it now. We'll be bailing out these banks forever. It seems like everybody's rushing to get this done before Christmas, but it's all politics. If the Democrats don't pull it off, then they'll have been a failure for not having done a health care plan, and if they do pull it off, which it looks like they are, it's going to be so watered down that we're going to be stuck with a very, very bad plan, which, as Howard Dean says, is worse than nothing. That's what I think. It's not like, well, it's not good enough, so let's hold out for what is. It's bad. It's trapping us into something that's worse than the, at least the measure of freedom to have some sovereignty over our own bodies that we had before.
That's exactly right. They're stealing our sovereignty. And to me, Ellen, it's ironic that they will pass it, I think, tomorrow morning because they want to get away early. They're going to do it early in the evening, I think, but they're going to do it tomorrow morning because they want to get away for the holiday. But it's ironic to do it Christmas Eve so that the present from the Congress to the people of this country turns out to be a lump of coal.
Yeah, that's when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, you know. Many important pieces of legislation.
But in the middle of the night for the Federal Reserve Act.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is disgusting that even the ones that we think are the better ones, and that goes for the House too, not all of them. I have a hard time believing that Dennis Kucinich will not vote against whatever the final bill is, because he stood tall and he voted against the House bill. But some of the so-called liberal progressive representatives, this one, I forget his name offhand, but he wanted universal single payer, and he surrendered and he voted. He's a New York representative. His name may come to me. I forget at the moment. He voted for the atrocity that the House passed, and it's a better bill than the Senate has got. My own representative, a member of the Black Caucus, Danny Davis, is surrendered. He voted for this thing. And if you see them interviewed, Ellen, and they say, now will you vote for the final bill when it comes out? I'm talking about the good ones, like Danny Davis, my representative, this New York representative, Maxine Waters, another so-called liberal, members of the Black Caucus. They will say things like, well, you know, I will have to wait to see what the final bill looks like. Like, that's a yes. Of course they're going to vote for it. Bernie Sanders said exactly the same thing. He was asked that question. Will you vote for this Senate bill before the first vote, before they got rid of cloture and started the countdown till the final vote tomorrow? He said, well, I'll have to wait to see what the final bill looks like. Well, that was a yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my only hope is that it will be create so much outrage when people see what they've actually been locked into, that it'll just be clear that we have to have a complete change of systems here. We've been deluded all along with everything. I, of course, think the solution to everything is to change the financial system, that that's where they've got us by the throat, and that's where the way we'll get out of it is to get back the power to create money. As Mackenzie King said in that quote, this is my opening quote. I guess you didn't quote it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll read it.
That's the solution, Ellen. Let's pass on. Maybe you can work Iceland and Latvia into it now to the end of the hour. But I think the emphasis on having the right financial system is the way not only to fix this problem, but all the other big ones that people are facing. That's the solution. And it's so damn simple. I mean, they could fix this stuff in a day, in a week. It's so easy.
Mm-hmm. The Canadian money reformers, every single year they write to their government and they say, it would be, you know, we can fix this overnight. We know the answer. It's simple. Just issue money like you used to do. And, of course, it never happens. It's not. The people at the top are corrupt, and other people don't understand it. But hopefully, arguably, if enough people did understand it, enough people who aren't insiders, you know, who aren't profiting from the system, we would have enough leverage to change it. That's what I'm hoping, that people, that we'll just have a wave of, we don't want a violent revolution, of course. We'll lose the violent revolution because they've got all the weapons. We want a peaceful revolution, in other words, a legal revolution. When enough people don't go along with the system, there's no way they can hold us all, I don't think.
That's exactly right, and that's the way big change comes, Ellen. I am an absolute believer in nonviolence because I know enough history. I'm sure no expert, but I know enough history to know that violence only brings more violence. But when enough people say, no mas, I will not go along with this anymore, and they stand tall, and they can do it in a lot of ways, like refusing to support their representatives in Congress. The alternative, the main alternative, may be different, but refuse to support them. Vote for an independent who believes in the right kind of a system, somebody who has no chance of winning, but vote for them. Vote for them. Why should you vote for someone who absolutely defrauds you? And I have to say, I'll hurt Vermonters who are listening to this program. If I lived in Vermont, I absolutely positively would not vote for Bernie Sanders on this one issue because he betrayed us on this one issue. So what's the next one he's going to betray us on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I did hear him speak, and there's certainly logic to his position that he's dealing with a bad situation, and he went in there and got as many good changes as he could because he alone was not going to be able to reverse the thing. So he did get all those free clinics in there, which is a good thing.
Well, but think of this. Really, does one man in the Senate, especially an independent, Nora, have a chance literally to shake the whole this whole bill up by refusing to go along with it and going back to the drawing board and getting more? Bernie Sanders, if he refuses to vote for this bill tomorrow, will literally single-handedly throw a monkey wrench
just
into
like
the machinery.
Lieberman. Yeah, Lieberman did.
And if he wants to get more, that's the way to get it. That is the way to get it. And he will get it. He won't get all he wants, but he will get infinitely more than he has now, which in my judgment, Ellen, whatever he's got, it's crumbs compared to what he could get.
Well, and certainly the president could have done it. He could have leaned on everybody like Johnson did. Johnson was, he may not have been the greatest president, but
it was
sure
a different time, Ellen.
Sorry? Yeah.
It was a different time. I mean, we had Martin Luther King, we had the Civil Rights Movement, and he was so beaten up over Vietnam that I think that was his logic. He had to give us a little war on poverty because he was absolutely going down the drain of Vietnam, and it didn't do any good. They still hated him.
Well, about Latvia and Iceland and Greece, they are actually, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Can I make one comment about them? This is doing to a country what our Congress is trying to do to us.
Yes. So the EU has trapped all these countries into a single system. I shouldn't say trapped, but Greece's problem started when the interest rates were lowered to serve Germany, but it didn't serve Greece. So the Greek system got totally out of whack, and they got heavily in debt. So now they're having these austerity measures imposed on them. They're being told to lay off workers, and they're refusing to do it, even though they're part of the EU. So that's a sort of revolt. And the thing is, the Greeks are so much stronger, like historically, that you've got Alexander the Great and so forth. I mean, these people could do it, whereas you have all these little oppressed countries in Africa or something. They're just not, they can't stand up. But if they had a model, like if the Greeks would do it, stand up to the austerity measures of the IMF, and then there's Latvia and Iceland. Iceland Icelanders were the Vikings. They were settled by the Vikings. I mean, these are people with a history of fighting and standing up for things, and they're Europeans, so they know how to talk to Europeans. I mean, they, unlike, you know, some poor Africans that might come in their African robes and try to negotiate and would just not be, they would be out of their league in terms of, you know, in terms of negotiating with Europeans. So if these people could show the way, the Iceland and Latvian people are also rebelling against these austerity measures, then smaller countries might follow. So that's what I was writing about in that article.
Oh, absolutely. Last time I heard from Michael Hudson, he thought Iceland would end up not going along with him. I hope not. Argentina, do you talk about Argentina when we come back?
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back on with Ellen Brown. Ellen, the hour goes by too fast. We need two or three. But anyway, there's an easy way to beat the IMF. Talk about the way Argentina did it and how prosperous they became as a result.
In 2001, the Argentine currency collapsed totally. And so they said, sorry, we're broke. We can't pay. And they just didn't pay their creditors. This was the IMF and Western banks. And so they did eventually pay off their debt at a much reduced rate. They negotiated, I think it was in 2004 that they paid it off. But in those years, everybody warned that, oh dear, they were absolutely they wouldn't get any help from the other countries, and that they needed this hot money that had been flowing into the country, but they didn't. It turned out they printed their own money. They issued pesos on a national level, and before that, the cities and municipalities actually issued their own money. They didn't call it money. They called it debt-canceling bonds, but they were little receipts for money, and they circulated in the towns as money, and that got the towns going again. So for those 3 years, when they were cut off, supposedly, from the rest of the world, they put their resources toward internal development, and the economy grew at a remarkably good clip, much better than one study compared Argentina to Turkey, which was in similar straits in 2001, and Turkey went along with the IMF, and they are still struggling. They never did get out of that debt trap that they were in, whereas Argentina did and is now doing quite well. So they were the model. Of course, one thing about Argentina, it's this big country with a lot of resources. So you could see somebody like Latvia saying, well, we're not exactly Argentina. We don't have all those resources. But today, there are new technologies being developed. For instance, I cited David Bloom with his book, Alcohol Can Be a Gas, and it's a website of the same name, where you can take virtually any plant. So you take your waste products, your organic waste products, and you turn those into alcohol, and then you can use it for many things. I mean, it's a whole system of food, water. You can heat your water that way, so you can do all this stuff with a very minimal investment in something in the nature of it. It wouldn't be a backyard still, but it would be like a still for a small town. Quite cheap.
It's amazing, Ellen, in this modern age, we have the technology, we have the know-how, we have the wealth to literally do wondrous things and use our resources, use our monetary and other resources for beneficial things instead of the way that we actually do it. At least Western countries, mostly the U.S., we could turn planet Earth into a wonderland, but that's not what we choose to do. We go in exactly the opposite direction, and to me, it's an act over time of self-destruction. It really is disgusting. If people don't do something to change this, and the big boys at the top will never do it. They never have throughout history. The big boys at the top, the special interests, the elitists, they will cling on to all this special stuff that they get at our expense. And unless people at the grassroots decide that they won't take it anymore and they act nonviolently, change never comes. But we can do it. We can do it. And we have to. My God, we're out of time. Oh, Ellen, another fabulous hour. I've got you rescheduled for January. I can't wait to get you back for more and see all your terrific articles that you write in the interim and your incredible book, Web of Debt. Go out and buy Web of Debt and give it as a Christmas present. Whoever gets it and reads it will thank you forever. Thanks, Ellen.
Thanks, Stephen, and have a great holiday.
Oh, thanks, and you too, and stay tuned for Ernie Hancock.
With recent